You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/ARTS. Just go to Indeed.com/ARTS right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Welcome to the True Fiction Project, a podcast series that explores the origins of fiction. Every week, we begin with an interview, nonfiction, followed by a creative piece, fiction, inspired by something from the interview. The idea is to demonstrate, of course, that fiction is born out of our life experiences. Now, here's your host, storyteller, author, public speaker, health and wellness expert, Renita Hora.
Welcome to this week's episode of the True Fiction Project. I am your host, Renita Hora. Well, folks, we are in between seasons, and today I am featuring episodes from guests in season 5, guests who had a story with a spooky twist. These are the stories that captivated me with their mysterious, chilling, and sinister quality. So to kick us off, let's start with Mary Savarese, a traditionally published, best-selling, award-winning fiction author and speaker who discovered her passion for writing after becoming an empty nester. There's a time and a place for us all. Mary shares with me how her life experiences have shaped her unique storytelling style and why she loves to explore different genres and projects. And then she shares an excerpt from her book, The Girl in the Twall Wallpaper. In this particular reading, we meet Dante, a man ensnared in a mysterious world where an evil figure manipulates scenes that he cannot intervene in. So come on, let's take a listen.
The funny backstory behind The Girl in the Twall Wallpaper, I am enamored with Twall. Mm-hmm. Twall is not a mural. Twall are different scenes that play out on this vibrant background. It's usually two very vibrant colors. And I just adore Twall. So at this point in time, I was living in a Central Hall colonial in the Northeast. It was Connecticut. And I think I practically had every room. There was Twall in every room so much that I was not even able to sell my house because I had so much Twall wallpaper. But I used to walk past all this Twall and I saw betrayal. I saw love. I saw a story, novel, actually a series, a trilogy, because trilogies are different than series. I saw something there that I just wanted to write about. And that's where I started. Those were the experiences within my life. I would love to read the prologue from The Girl in the Twall Wallpaper, the first book of the Star Writers Trilogy by Mary Kay Savarese. It is said, where evil rages, hope prevails. This is not about evil, for hope shall find a way. He watched as the dark shadow swirled across the room. A wind as strong as a summer tornado spun and yet moved nothing. Dante hid in the shadows, and the sound of squalls raged through his ears. He inched his way toward the massive windows and darted behind the heavy drapery. His heart raced, and he gasped when shards of light flashed through the room and threatened his reality. When a lightning bolt shattered, he winced and stepped deeper into the folds of the fabric. Standing in the middle of the study, A boy held tightly to a girl in his arms. Dante wanted to help them, but how? The evil man's robe glimmered with each wave of his arm. Dante watched in horror as the man threw the sheets of paper onto the floor. His long golden fingernails glowed in the dim light. As the pages floated, each piece crawled toward the couple as if alive. Awkward sounds filled Dante's ears while ghost-like buildings hovered through the air as if they were nothing more than a wisp of smoke. Now, a medieval scene flashed before his eyes and the curtains vibrated in his hands. A flicker of an olive tree and then a farmhouse and then a vineyard? Are those sheep? Dante tried to inch closer, but his feet refused to move. He was glued in place behind the drapes. The ghostly objects disappeared into the paper, and he trembled in terror. The shadows formed into a miniature print, each arranging itself according to the direction of the evil man. The man was painting a distressing scene through the movements of his symphonic hands. The wizard swiped along the floor, and the girl was jerked into the air. She hovered for only a moment before spinning as easily as a spinning wheel. Then, as if no friction ever existed, the girl screamed. The wind sucked her into the cloth paper. The girl was gone.
Next, my interview with Gina Schaefer. Gina is a paranormal writer whose stories are inspired by real-life events. She shares about her personal contributions and how she pulls them into her stories, as well as her experience with capturing ghosts. Yes, Gina is not a ghostbuster, but definitely a ghost tracker of sorts. She reads an excerpt from her book, The Pied Piper's Prince, which was inspired by The Candyman. And this is the portion of the story when the veil is lifted and a woman is trying to understand what happened in her home in the past. So keep listening. It's pretty chilling.
I have worked as a paranormal investigator, so I do pull some of my own personal elements into the story. Obviously, you can get a lot from the imagination. However, what I have found with readers, especially with young readers, if they can connect to something that they know, then even though there may be a lot of fiction and a lot of fantasy in there, having that tangible piece that they can connect to, and it makes them want to read more. It draws them in further and maybe even want to do some more research on their own. I have a lot of interest in crime, and so I will go and visit those sites. And even though I'm not necessarily telling their full story, there are pieces in there. So there's a lot of research that goes into it, but there's a lot of interest. As far as the words falling on the pages, it just happens. Come join in on the party, Willie says in a friendly voice, like he was for real. He wanted to hang out with Tommy. He even invited Tammy, Tommy's friend, who was thinking of running away on account of her stepdad's temper. Run, run, run! What's happening? Molly whispers, looking around. This looks different. Sometimes we bounce. What do you mean we bounce? Now growing accustomed to her dream companion. We see things happening at different times, but not necessarily in order. Then looking at the teens. That's Tommy and Tammy. Corey only wanted Tommy to come over, but Willie felt bad because she wanted to get away from home and away from her stepdad. Of course, she's never seen a temper like that of Corey. I've seen Corey get mad, even when he thought nobody was watching. But somebody is always watching. Sometimes I think it's the devil himself poking at him, trying to get him mad. When I see Corey strangle those boys, I swear I hear a wicked laugh vibrating through the house. Corey, Willie, and Boozer, they don't hear it, but I do, and I know it's pure evil. Is he going to kill them? Eventually, maybe not right now, but the playmates always die. That's the game. They have to die because it's part of the game. Molly's shoulders shudders. Jeez, I wonder if I am talking in my sleep. Only pure evil causes a person to call people you know, that trust you come over to party, be their friend, only to leave them to a malicious torture and death. What's worse is I think Willie may have liked Tommy too. Look how pretty she is. Molly examines the girl for a moment. Long blonde hair, dark eyes, slender frame. She smiled at Willie, exposing perfect teeth. I think I would have liked to have dated someone like Tammy. Molly barely heard her dream escort as Corey stomps through the house. Corey's not happy about Tommy being here. I think he likes Tommy all right. I think Tommy wasn't normally his type, seeing how he had dark hair and a tan. He likes guys like me with light hair and light eyes. Tall, but not strong. He never wants anyone to be stronger than him. The two watch Corey as he grabs Willie by the collar and yells, I don't want no girl hanging out here. Girls are nothing but trouble and drama. Willie panics. Look, her dad kicked her out. She has nowhere to go, and besides, she's hot. Can I have someone to play with once in a while? Besides, look at her. She's gonna be out in no time, and then you can have your fun. Corey seemed to calm down at that and goes out to the living room, tossing a few beers at the kids. The girl, missing hers, tumbled to the floor beside her. Corey snorts and pulls out a box of weed and papers. Tommy and Tammy hadn't tried the stuff before, stared at him wide-eyed. Stupid fools. Drugs are bad. They should listen to their moms and not some stranger they just met, Molly thought with a panicked urgency. Willie smoked and drank with them while making small talk. Corey sat back, observing with an angry stare, waiting until the three passed out. That's his M.O., you know, David whispers to Molly as she watches the scene unfold. What a coward. I don't follow. Stupid piece of shit is such a huge guy, and yet he lets drugs and booze weaken their reflexes so he can subdue them easier. Won't even let them have a chance to fight. What a puss.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/ARTS. Just go to Indeed.com/ARTS right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
And last but not least, here is Emma McDonald's interview for this special episode with the spooky authors of Season 5. Emma is a storyteller of witch fantasy, and in our conversation, we talk about all things witches. She shares what inspired to write her novel, Whispers Most Foul, about a college student who cannot cast spells, but can see ghosts. You'll hear an excerpt. When the main character, Rose, is visited by a ghostly, sinister vision in the bath. You won't want to miss this bone-chilling story.
I think fantasy as a genre has a lot of magic involved in it. And I think when we talk about involving witches in fantasy, it is a little different because I think it plays on the magic systems that have kind of decorated the folk tales of our world a little bit more. So you might delve into types of magic that might be a little bit more familiar, so to speak, to people in our world or based in certain traditions, things like that. Whereas I think fantasy as a larger genre, while it does include a lot of magic, doesn't always necessarily carry that component. Witchcraft historically has been used sort of pejoratively in the same way that paganism was used as a pejorative term. I think it really is, when we're looking at Western, largely Christian societies, it is anything that doesn't fit that standard of Christianity. And so it has been used to weaponize anything that is a little bit different, any rituals that are different, any practices that are different, and that encompasses all over the world because there are a lot of different forms of witchcraft or what people would consider witchcraft now. And I think that's something that people are starting to kind of revisit in recent years, and it's gaining a lot more momentum now as something that's a little bit outside of tradition. Rose glared at the bathwater below her, glimmering in the glow of the candles lining the bath's edges. Warm and inviting, steam curled off its surface in smoky tendrils, filling the air with the soothing scent of lavender. Hot baths had always had a way of soothing scars upon the heart, Raw and aching, or sewn up and sore beneath the weight of time, they all melted away in the water's scalding embrace. But now, she could think of nothing less appealing. A shiver crawled down her spine. As horrific as the first week of classes had been, nothing pulled so sharply at the dread coiled in her stomach as this. Her eyes flickered to the dark cloth hanging over her mirror like a shroud. A useless precaution at this point, but a habit she found hard to break. She'd covered the lancet windows above the tub, too, repositioning her many hanging plants in front of them as a protective wall of overgrowth. Still, it wasn't enough. She knew now that none of it would protect her. Aveline was always there, no longer confined to mere reflections and growing ever stronger, angrier. Yet what choice did Rose have? She could hardly keep from bathing indefinitely. The wind howled lightly against the windows, nearly covering the screams from the forest beyond. Pulling loose the tie of her robe, Rose sucked in a sharp breath and gingerly tipped her toes into the water. The heat crept across her skin like a warm embrace as she sank into it, but she found no comfort in it. She sloshed her water up and down her arms, scrubbing her washcloth over her rosemary soap and then across her pink, freckled skin. She just needed to get in and out, then make it down to the pub for the first week drinks, for Fen's sake. He hardly expected her to show up, she was sure, but for the first time, she almost wanted to. He'd been watching her all week as if she were made of cracked glass, ready to shatter at the slightest touch, and perhaps he was right, but there was a desperate, broken part of her that wanted to pretend, just for one night, to watch his eyes spark with delight for the sight of her, not concern, as they so often did these days. She swallowed hard, washing away the last of the soap. The weight of it all ripped her apart, but she would keep it from reaching him, if she could. Setting her washcloth aside, Rose was reaching for her towel when the water at the edge of the tub splashed. She froze. A few rebellious curls stuck to the back of her neck in damp tangles as a cold sweat crept across her skin. Gripping the edge of the tub, she clenched her jaw. Seconds ticked by with agonizing leisure before the water sloshed again. This time, the candles beside Rose flickered almost in warning. The soft hair on her forearms stood upright as a chill swept over her, despite the steam still curling up from the bathwater. All at once, the water seemed tepid and stale. What little joy it had held snuffed out in an instant. Rose reached for her towel once more, suddenly desperate for the safety of her bed. But the candles flared again as she did, singeing her skin before they all went out at once. Rose's heart pounded against her ribs in the darkness, fast and featherlight, like a bird trying to break free from the cage of her chest. Her breath coiled in her lungs, throat so tight she could barely swallow. Water lapped softly against the porcelain tub. Then, with a start, the first of the candles leapt back to life, but the light brought no relief. Gray, bloated fingers curled around the sides of the tub. Cracked nails caked with grime screeched against porcelain, dug deep and dragging, ever so slowly. Rose trembled, tears pricking her eyes as the water parted, but she couldn't look away, couldn't move, couldn't even breathe. Soaked tangles of ragged blonde hair crested slowly through the suds, then pallid flesh, marked by dark, spidery veins carved up a sparse brow. Then finally, her eyes. Bloodshot and sunken, they fixed furiously on Rose as Aveline's cracked lips pulled free of the water. Blood pooled at the corner of the girl's mouth, spilling down her throat. For a moment, they just stared at each other, Rose rooted to the spot and Aveline simply waiting, watching. And then she lunged. Slick fingers clamped around Rose's throat and squeezed, hard. With a cry, she wrenched away from Aveline's grip, scrambling back. Water cascaded over the edges of the tub as Rose leapt free of it, soaking the rug beneath and snuffing out the one lit candle. She stumbled in the darkness, reaching desperately for her towel, then the counter, then finally the door. The glow of her dormitory greeted her as she flung herself toward her bed. She sagged onto it, towel wrapped tighter against her bare skin and trembling in the cool air. For several moments, all she could do was watch the doorway, but it remained empty. No bloodied eyes peered at her out of the darkness, no wretched figure crossed the threshold. Then, all at once, the candles flickered back to life, filling the washroom with a soft, inviting glow. She was gone. Numbly, Rose lifted her knees to her chin, released the breath she was burning in her lungs, and simply wept. Great aching sobs tore through her, hot tears pooling onto the satin-wet duvet as she rolled onto her side. She couldn't bear this any longer, this terror, this torment. If she stayed here another moment, she would simply unravel, shatter into a million pieces, or fade away with so much sorrow. All of a sudden, she craved the comfort of other bodies, even if the safety they offered was only an illusion. For the first time in memory, she didn't want to be alone. And so, dressing quickly and freeing her tangled curls from their updo, she fled from the confines of her room. It wasn't until the cool night air pressed against her skin that she noticed the heat beneath her collar. Swallowing hard, she reached under her blouse and traced 5 angry bruises blooming along her throat.
I hope you enjoyed this look back at the spooky authors of Season 5. And remember, the visual renditions of all of these stories are available for paid subscribers on Substack as well as on Patreon. Here at the True Fiction Project, we are always looking for great stories that make for compelling fiction. So, if you have a great story or know somebody who does, or if you are a writer who would like to contribute, then please do get in touch with us at renitha.com/contact.
Thank you for listening to the True Fiction Project with Renita Hora. Be sure to subscribe to the newsletter to receive more inspiring stories, showing how fiction is born from our everyday experiences. For more information, visit www.truefictionproject.com.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job post seen on other job sites. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/ARTS. Just go to Indeed.com/ARTS right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.